time for the Gadget Guide, and this week we're looking at things that you can take to a festival of a gadget nature. Hello, Rob. Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, Julian. Gadget Guide number 53, which should have come from the Rock Festival, but I think the weather kept us a bit busy.
Yeah, we were sort of, it felt like we were broadcasting from a boat that day, didn't
it? Battening down the hatches and all the rest.
Well, yes. We were next to Radio Caroline. We thought they were probably a little better equipped to deal with the weather than we were, but we made it through.
No, they looked like they were more at sea than we were.
Well, that's the heritage. Anyway, as you say, Julian, coming up in a moment, the festival gadgets, but first of all, a quick bit of tech news and then the gadget of the week. Technology news. First of all, Google's Chromecast
has been reduced 40%. So
wow.
You can now pick those up for £18 from Currys, PC World, Amazon, and Tesco. So if you haven't had a Chromecast or got a Chromecast yet, get one. Great way to basically push any content from your Android device onto your big screen TV.
So this is things like watching
YouTube.
Netflix, YouTube,
iPlayer.
I play, yeah.
As an interesting aside, I noticed that Sky and their Sky Go, which is the thing that you can take with you, I guess, wherever you want to, see some of their channels on the laptop, PC, they are actually withdrawing that service from Chrome in the next few weeks.
That's probably because you can take any Chrome window and push that to your Chromecast.
Yeah, so I think they're probably the studios have encouraged that because of content protection, whereas something like BBC's iPlayer, because it's free to air, you don't have to pay for it as such, other license fee, of course, then that's a little bit easier to wear with the studios.
Yep. On the lighter side of the news this week, Greggs and Google, I don't know if you spotted this,
Greggs the bakery.
Yep. Had a little bit of an incident. You know how if you Google certain companies, it shows up their logo on the right-hand side of the search results?
Yeah.
Well, Greggs, someone had a little bit of a play with their Wikipedia page and changed the logo to one that was rather less complimentary. But they handled it so beautifully. Greggs basically tweeted to Google with a photo of a box of donuts and say, "Hey, Google, you can have all of these if you go and fix our logo." To which Google responded, "Throw in a sausage roll, we'll get on it." And so they fixed it, and yeah, photo then came back of Google written in sausage rolls, but it was just the perfect example of how to do social media properly as a company. It was so nice and so light-hearted, but obviously getting the job done at the same time.
The Waitrose incident is still my favourite.
Oh, I missed that one.
This was a couple of years ago now. Basically, Waitrose encouraged people to tweet what their favourite thing about the supermarket was, and things came back with their car spaces is larger so I can get my Range Rover in, all that kind of stuff.
Wonderful. In Microsoft land, there's rumours now of Windows 9. That's a completely unconfirmed name, but basically version next of Windows. This is after 8.1. They're not confirming anything, but they're not denying anything either.
So apparently there'll be some sort of announcement at the end of next month, and codename Threshold will make its debut. So wait and see.
I like that as a name. That's good.
It'll be very interesting because, of course, they came under a lot of criticism with Windows 8, particularly the original 8.
There's quite a lot of thought that they'll be going quite a long way back in design and making it look a lot more like Windows 7.
And then they call it an improvement and people say, "That's great, I'll go and buy it."
Yes.
Well, I think it's getting a compromise because what they did with Windows 8 was fantastic for touchscreens, but they just lost a bit of the traditional desktop interaction.
Quite rubbish for PCs.
So I think they'll probably keep the visual elements of the sort of the very flat, very sharp edges design that was originally called Metro, then called Windows 8. They'll probably keep that, would be my guess, but they'll probably put back some of the mouse-oriented things, probably fix some of the mystery meat gestures.
Yes.
It's intriguing, really, isn't it? Because a lot of the operating systems have been with us for a while. It's like you must reach a point when you really can't do anything else other than tinkering and making sure your fonts continue to look contemporary.
Well, it's interesting because the designs have evolved and it seems to go round in a circle. So Apple sort of led the way to start with the first iPhones, then Google sort of leapfrogged them a bit, then Apple leapfrogged them, then Microsoft jumped in with Windows Phone 7.
Everyone decided that looked nice and switched to that sort of idea.
And then sort of Google worked on that and Apple worked a bit more, and then Microsoft overtook them, and then Google over with Android L has sort of leapfrogged them again. So they're bouncing off each other quite nicely, actually.
Talking about fruity stuff, coming up hopefully in a couple of weeks' time, we should have some news about iPhone 6.
Oh, the next one, so much awaited.
The rumour mill is throwing the 9th of September as a date around at the moment, which is historically when Apple sort of do things, is the first week in September. So we're expecting to probably see a bigger screen, And also a phablet-sized model.
A what?
So the oversized phones that you
or
see,
undersized
things like, the Galaxy Note and so on. And prices expected probably for the phone-shaped ones to be around £550.
Very nice. A quick look at the gadget of the week before we head into a quick break. This week we've gone for the Ubiquiti Unify Wireless Access Point. So this is a range of wireless access points. If you're maybe sitting at home, you've maybe got an ADSL or Virgin Media router that came free with your broadband, but your wireless network doesn't quite cover the house, or it drops out, or it's a bit slow, but it's not your broadband that's the limiting factor. You can actually do very well often by adding an extra or even replacing the wireless bit of your router with a proper dedicated wireless access points, and the Ubiquiti Unify are a fantastic range for this.
So yes, you can walk into the likes of PC World and Currys and so on and buy various brands, but Unify from Ubiquiti, generally you'll buy online. There's quite a lot of online resellers, and we'd recommend either Unify AP or the Unify APAC, which is the latest models. Yep. Now they vary in price quite drastically. So the Unify AP is around £55 plus delivery. So £60-70 is going to get you a very good access point, slightly more for the long range one. So they do one that will cover basically to the bottom of your garden, which is about £15 more. The AC, the new range of stuff, this will actually give you gigabit speeds over Wi-Fi. So that's 1,000 megabit speeds over Wi-Fi.
Obviously, we should say that that's still going to be limited by your broadband, but more and more, especially if you're on some of the cable providers where you're over 100 megabit a second, you're probably going to be limited by your wireless at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the fibre to the home and so on is getting to that 100 meg mark. Virgin Cable is already over 100 meg. But if you're doing things like copying stuff and files around, if you've got a NAS and local storage, or copying
or
stuff
between
computers, the gigabit speed certainly helps quite a lot for your actual wireless networking. It turns it into the same speed as a wired connection to your laptop. So those are slightly more expensive. They're about £200, £220.
But it really is a case with wireless access points. It's you get what you pay for. Yes, you can go and get something off the high street for £20 or £30. It will not be as good as if you do spend that little bit more money and get something that's proper, almost business class.
So our recommendation, wireless, probably the £70-odd long-range Unify AP.
Yeah, that's exactly what I use.
Ariana Grande's got a problem. We can solve it. We've got the Gadget Guide with Rob and Lawrence.
I think that's, you had one problem, now you've got two. Anyway, welcome back to the Gadget Guide. And now we're going to talk about some of the festival gadgets. So we spoke, last year I think it was, about high-tech camping.
6th of September last year.
Oh, look at you and your preparation. but we've just, of course, two weeks ago, been to the Cambridge Rock Festival, where we were camping, and definitely there at the festival. So, some of the stuff that we learnt out of that. First of all, tents.
Don't buy pop-up tents, they flood.
I'm going to be kind of interested to see, because I know that Tim Willett has just acquired himself a pop-up tent, and he's going to Homegrown, I think it is.
So, and that is when?
Is it this weekend?
Is it this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend in the Barrow, just outside of Bury St Edmunds.
And this weekend has got some wet weather forecast.
Monday, I think, is when the seriously nasty stuff is over.
Sort of starting possibly Sunday.
I could bring up my weather forecast here.
we'll get that to 6.
Check the rain probability.
So we'll discover how pop-up tents with Willett inside them do. But anyway, better than that possibly is an inflatable tent.
Yes, these are really interesting, actually, because this basically it sounds a bit weird to start with, but basically what an inflatable tent means is you replace the poles with blow-up tubes, effectively. So if you imagine, you know, you get those sort of long balloons that you use for modelling stuff out of.
All of a sudden it's a horse.
Exactly. Imagine getting lots of those and using them as tent poles, but much, much higher pressure. And so you basically.
And obviously stronger.
And no chance of them going down in the night, as there's the
fingers
key question
crossed,
here.
No.
Fingers crossed, doesn't sound very confident.
It's fine. These are interesting because they can be very lightweight, of course, and packed down very small because there's no rigid parts in them at all. It's just the canvas and the tubing. Not ever so cheap, though. Can be for the larger ones.
Pounds.
Exactly, yeah. £500 and upwards. But very nice. And you can also, if you're more into your caravanning, you can also get inflatable awnings for your caravans, which again means no sort of slotting together poles and having them fall apart and all of that lot.
Yeah,
and also, those are very good.
Also, when you've lost the instructions, it's lazy. Inflate it and it'll appear in the right shape.
Exactly. Now, you've gone really upmarket with your next suggestion, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, you've probably heard the term glamping before. Yes, no?
Yes, I've heard the term.
Glamorous camping.
So basically, the idea is a lot of festivals are now starting to partner with organisations who will rent you a teepee or a yurt or a tent, and you book it, and it will be erected for you on the site before you get there.
That's cheating.
See, when I hear yurt, I more think of like some kind of yoghurt or something like that, but it's not, is it?
A yurt is a round tent made with a wicker-type frame bent over and... basically, you wrap the canvas around it.
And presumably it's someone else's problem when it leaks. You just shout at them and they fix it.
Somebody else's problem to put it up and to take it away. And, I mean, if you go for the full-on packages, they'll include bedding and everything. So you rock up and your tent is basically, you know, a hotel in a field.
I think you can even get them with heating now, can't you, if you want to be really posh.
They'll supply wood braziers. They'll even supply catering and everything. So, yeah, you know, that is the top end. But, I mean, they start at about £400 again. So
just stay in a hotel and drive in.
Yeah, well, the advantage is you can then collapse in your tent straight after seeing the headline act, enjoying the beverages of the festival, and not have to worry about how you get to your hotel and back.
Yeah, okay, that's attractions.
Makes sense.
Still not convinced.
Anyway, more moving inside of your tent or caravan. This one always makes me smile a little bit. You can get either USB-powered or solar-powered light bulbs. I love the idea of solar-powered light bulbs. And it's just what it sounds like. It's a solar panel and a light bulb and a battery. So you charge it up during the day and then you use it at night.
Julian looks puzzled.
No, I'm thinking you could use that at home as well. You don't need to go into a tent to do that.
You certainly could. And it is starting to become quite an easy way of lighting things up at home without
garden paths
using
the lake.
Well, garden paths, but also things like sheds, garages.
Well, lots of things because, you know, my sister moaned at me the other day. I left the lights on, apparently. Oh, dear. Ooh. These light bulbs
green
in my kitchen are very expensive, she said, to run. I'm tempted to say, well, why did you get those sort then? But if there's an option to... But would you want to screw them in and unscrew them every night?
No, just have it with a switch. I mean, they've all got switches as well, so you can still switch them on and off.
Okay.
So, yeah. Buying either a USB-powered light bulb, I mean, there are power packs that are chargeable that have got built-in torches, solar-powered torches, all sorts of things like that. But the other idea is a small solar panel, and solar panels have come down in price a lot. You can get fold-up ones for charging mobile phones and so on. Start about £70-80. Basically, you lay it out in the sun, plug in your mobile phone, and it'll charge your phone. It takes about 5-6 hours to charge a phone on average.
And it's worth
good sunlight.
It's worth saying they've got a lot more efficient than they were probably even 2 years ago. Yeah, it used to be the case that maybe if you were lucky, it would just about keep your phone topped up if you weren't using it. Whereas now, it's very, very much more. And this is really off the back of all of the residential solar developments.
Yeah.
You can now actually run, charge, use in a realistic time frame.
Right up to slightly larger ones for caravans and so on. I mean, an 80-watt solar power panel will be able to actually charge your batteries in your caravan, keep your fridge running, and they're about £160 with the necessary gubbins to actually hook up to your battery, to charge your battery. So, things to look at.
Right, moving on to the stages now. And this one you might
or
have
in front
heard,
of it.
In front of the stages and on stage. You might have heard this if you heard Neil Whiteside talking about this at the Rock Festival, is ear protection. Very, very important, especially if you're going to a lot of festivals.
So this was something I certainly recommended to most of the tech crew last year, and I think we all went out and got them. So they start from, you can buy the Etymotic ER20, which are very good. Start at about £10 on Amazon.
So these are basically posh earplugs, aren't they? They're not the foam squishy, rolly uppy things.
Reusable ones, so they are like very posh earphones that you'd get with a high-end mobile device, but are designed to basically block all of the really loud noises.
But at the same time, make it sound natural, so you don't just sort of lose all...
You'll still be able to hear stuff, otherwise there's no point turning up the gig in the first place.
Exactly. So it still sounds like the gig, just a little bit quieter.
Yes. Or you can go for posh custom ones like Neil had made. There you're looking at the £160-odd mark. But, you know, those are musician grade. So, yeah, worth looking at. Other things that you might want out and about in the field, possibly in your galoshes or your wellies.
So I don't even know what galoshes... What are galoshes?
It's basically a sawn-off Wellington boot.
Yes.
Oh, isn't that just a boot?
No, it's a galosh.
Ankle height, but fully waterproof.
else, so you just get your feet filled with water. Anyway, moving onwards.
Can I say my cupboard clear out, which I've been sort of throwing out lots of things out of my cupboards, I actually found some shoe warmers, which I think could be quite useful at any festival. If you're drenched the night before, your shoes get wet,
oh, that's
you
nice.
Maybe
it's
plug,
quite
plug
so
them into some
squishy.
Solar-powered supply and you warm them through again.
I got a slightly better version of that, though. It's actually a large bag of silica gel in a fabric thing, so you can basically recharge it by putting it on your radiator, but silica gel bag to drop into
good.
Your dry things.
Okay, yeah. I think I like
no
that.
No power required.
Yeah. Just don't eat it.
Last thing I found that was a very good idea was we're all used to our mobile phones being with us all the time to be able to find out where someone is on the other side of the festival field, but the problem with the smartphone these days, it lasts the day.
If you're lucky.
And if you didn't get that solar panel or you didn't have enough sun to recharge your phone, what do? So go and buy a cheap phone. And I say a cheap phone, I say buy a Nokia 10 105.
A lot of people must have them in their cupboards. I found at least three phones while doing my cupboard clear out.
But yeah, is that one that has 105?
And do you have a charger for it still?
Ah, well, that's another story. Yes.
Anyway, Nokia do a Nokia 105. Maybe we should give one of these away as a competition prize because they only cost £18 from Amazon. So you just need to
find out the Nokia press office.
I'm sure you could. Anyway, you just have to add a pay-as-you-go SIM. The thing about these is that they've got a standby time of a month.
Oh, wow.
that's good.
Not bad.
And they reckon with use a week. So that should last your average festival.
So that's like the emergency phone. It's something else to carry, though. That's the trouble.
These ones are splash and waterproof to a degree, so you probably survive a mud trip or two.
Okay. The only thing to watch out for on those, just very quickly, is they're not 3G, so don't try using them on the 3 network.
No.
Won't work.
No.
Okay, that's interesting. I was going to watch which network you've signed up to first.
Probably EE, since they currently are rated the best network in the country by all of the reviewers.
Very good.
You had that, we're done kind of look
we're,
about
we're,
you.
We are, indeed,
oh, very
yes.
good, and plenty
yes.
of time as well. Thank
exactly.
you very much, guys.
Almost on time.
Yeah.
That's good. We'll go up to the 6 o'clock with Maria from Blondie. Rob's looking at me. Sorry.
Back in 3 weeks' time for the 12th of September, and hopefully some guests in.
Okay, thank you very much.